Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio from 1 until 4 and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand. That's the podcast. We're giving away $1,000 coming up in about 15 minutes. And if you want to call the Moist line and leave us a message that we'll play back Friday, you could vent at 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86, 877-664-7886.
Plenty of openings.
Plenty of vacancies. People have not really stirred yet for the new year. All right, this is your chance to make your mark. We're going to talk now with Brian Enten from News Nation, which is the hottest, newest cable channel. You should check your cable listings and watch News Nation. Brian Enten is the senior national correspondent, and he's got a hell of a story. Apparently, the Chinese government is researching a new variant of COVID-19, and it's a 100% lethal to humanized mice. And you're probably wondering, what is a humanized mouse? Well, we're going to talk to Brian about all this right now. Brian, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, this seems really frightening without knowing too much more. What is this?
Yeah, I've been researching it all day because when I woke up and got my story assignment that had the words humanized mice, like you said, I was like, never heard of this before. But we've been talking to researchers all day. That's actually a thing, by the way. They basically inject these mice to sort of have them replicate a human immune system so they can do certain tests on them. And they're doing that in China in this lab with this new variant of COVID. And according to the Chinese researchers, their paper is out. These mice, the signs that they had were they lost weight, they were sluggish, their eyes turned white, and then they died. All of them died. There wasn't one survivor, which is obviously alarming. One of the other alarming things about all of this is just, you know, the fact that they are doing these COVID experiments in China. You think back to the way COVID may have originated, it's a bit of a worry. Are they taking the right precautions? Could we see some kind of outbreak again? We spoke with a scientist at Florida International University today. Her name is Eileen Marty. She specializes in all this COVID research. She said basically, like, not to worry too much at this point. She looked over the research project. She's not even sure that they humanized the mice the right way in terms of their immune systems. and said this research actually is important for developing new vaccines and that kind of thing, but did express some concern in terms of whether they are taking the right precautions in the labs there to make sure there's not another lab leak.
Yes, exactly. I mean, 4 years ago, we would have been told by the Chinese that they take all the appropriate precautions, and then we find out, oh, no, they didn't. And so it's hard to trust, and I don't know if you heard, but we were talking about that Wall Street Journal story that came out today as well, where the Chinese lab mapped the coronavirus 2 weeks before they told the rest of the world. They knew.
I think that's the bigger, I think that's the bigger story today. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with this research that they're doing with the new variant. I'm not totally sure, and I don't think the scientists here are yet what to really make of it. But that Wall Street Journal exclusive they had today, where they got the records that they had mapped it out 2 weeks before, is unbelievable, because there are, including people we talked to today who are already talking about it, there are scientists who say if they had a 2 week heads up, it could have made a real difference. If they had come clean with what they knew 2 weeks earlier, it could have made a big difference for the whole world, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, going back to this experiment, now the original COVID-19 virus did come from bats in a cave, and then they were testing that virus in the Wuhan lab at the time that the outbreak happened. This virus, GXP2V, a version of it came out of pangolins, which are anteaters.
Right. And yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. Yep.
So it this is a cousin of, well, GX2017 was discovered in the pangolins in 2017. The one that the Chinese are researching now is a cousin of it. It's a mutation. But is this a natural mutation, or did they create the mutation in the lab?
See, that's one of the questions that the scientists here who we talked to asked today, and we don't really know. I mean, they didn't release all of the information on this. We just know that it's a COVID-19 strain. And what's interesting is they said the mice were humanized, but when we got all the paperwork to our person that we've been using, the researcher at Florida International University, she said based on what she saw, they weren't fully humanized in terms of their immune systems, mm-hmm. which again is why I think with this one, like, we might have to wait to see what's really going on, you know?
All the major countries do bioengineering of viruses, right? They have bioweapons, even if they're never going to admit to it. How do we know this wasn't engineered by the Chinese government? And
we don't know. Yeah, that's we don't know. We think of everything they don't release. I mean, the stuff that we're getting is stuff that the scientists there are putting in these international databases. But, I mean, the example from the Wall Street Journal, they knew about that COVID strain 2 weeks before, put nothing out. There's a lot that we don't know, I mean, that they're not releasing.
So what's the next step? What's the next step for the media here? Because it's really hard to shake accurate information out of the Chinese government.
It's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, like, we had, you know, they had, Congress had that whole study they put together about the origins of COVID, and it still doesn't seem like we got a concrete answer. I mean, you know, the lab leak theory is still very much a possibility. They never said 100%, though. I don't know that we'll ever really get full answers again, because we're dealing with China. I mean,
right.
They're not going to tell us everything.
But I think people aren't comfortable with being at the mercy of whoever the powers are that run the Chinese Communist Party, and that, you know, just a few years after COVID, you've got this new weird mutation, and it kills every mouse they inject it with. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to hear this. And then we get the story, and then what? The story is going to disappear tomorrow, you know, until there's an outbreak somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're desensitized to a certain point. You also have to wonder, like, I was thinking about this today as we were looking into all this, you know, do politics come into play with some of this? You know, does one side not want to talk about it as much as the other? I mean, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, well, and there's no trust anymore either. I mean, people don't want to hear about COVID anymore, obviously. Well, and they also don't have any trust, whether it's the government sources, a lot of media sources, Chinese medical research sources, even, and American, obviously, American medical sources. I mean, so many institutions were discredited during this pandemic.
Yeah, look at the World Health Organization. You know, used to be like the preeminent, like you thought you could trust them about everything. Mm. And a lot. So you're right. I mean, it's hard. That's why these stories are so difficult, honestly, as a journalist, because you can only push so far. I mean, you don't have all the information. We're not getting all the information from China. So, you know, we have this little bit that we got today. We know that the mice died. They said they were humanized. Come to find out, the researchers here are now saying, well, they weren't fully humanized. You're right. I mean, it's hard to kind of know up from down with a lot of this.
Brian, well, good work. Thank you very much for coming on. And if you learn more, we'll get in contact again.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Brian Enten from News Nation, the new cable news channel. You should go look for it on your cable TV listings. So GXP2V had infected the lungs, bones, eyes, tracheas, and brains of the dead mice. All the mice died in 8 days. But by the time it got to the brains, when the brain got infected, that was it.
Can we just shut down all the labs in China?
Yeah, some well-placed, well-timed missiles. The mice quickly lost weight. They started to get hunched over, and they moved very sluggishly. Their eyes turned completely white the day before they died.
Animal abuse.
Yeah, the poor mice, huh?
Rodent abuse. Yeah, yeah, I feel really sorry for them.
Now, it's interesting. One professor wrote on the X platform, Francois Ballot, epidemiology expert at London's Genetics Institute. He says the whole concept of this research is terrible and scientifically totally pointless. I can see nothing of vague interest that could be learned from force infecting a weird breed of humanized mice with a random virus. Conversely, I could see how much stuff might go wrong. This doesn't specify the biosafety level and the biosafety precautions used for the research. Like we found out at the Wuhan lab, their biosafety protocol was way short of the standard. It wasn't anywhere near what it should have been for the type of viruses that they were playing around with. And he says the absence of this information raises the concerning possibility that part of all this research, like the research in Wuhan that likely caused the COVID-19 pandemic, is being performed recklessly without minimal biosafety containment and practices essential for research with these pandemic pathogens. A Rutgers University professor, Richard Ebright, issued a one-word statement, concur. Third professor at Stanford, Dr. Gennady Glinsky, he said this madness must be stopped before it's too late.
Why don't we have inspectors going to the labs and checking out what they're doing?
The Chinese would never cooperate with anybody.
I know, but can't we threaten with something else?
And, well, going back to the missile. We need to, I'm not joking. We need to like seriously threaten to try to curtail this nonsense because they don't care. I mean, to go 2 weeks without admitting to the COVID-19 virus is absolutely shameful. But, you know, they don't have any shame. It says here, if we'd had two more weeks, it would have proved crucial, this is the Wall Street Journal, in helping the international medical community pinpoint had COVID-19 spread, develop medical defenses, and get started on an eventual vaccine. And the thing is that when they finally shared the virus's sequence with the World Health Organization, remember, the World Health Organization was largely financed by China, and the WHO ran interference for China and just dragged their feet on releasing information that would have been useful to the rest of the world. They were covering for China because China pays their bills. Now, maybe we should pay their bills. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I'm going to indulge with my daily segment on the failures of electric cars. Because the New York Times has finally done a story on it. You can't find a media outlet this week that hasn't gone to Chicago to show the Tesla graveyards, the charging stations where Teslas are lined up, all their batteries dead because the temperature dropped below zero and you can't drive a lot of electric cars when it's very, very cold. The juice just gets sapped out of the battery. So the New York Times weighed in. And let's see. And the thing is, it's not hard to find these people because the lines are really long and the cars are dead. So it's not hard for the reporters to find people to talk to. They're standing around in 0 degrees and they're in a bad mood. So they talked to Javid Spencer, an Uber driver, who said all he has done in the last 3 days is just try to charge his rented Chevy Bolt. And he's constantly at a dead battery for 3 days. And he said, when it's cold like this, the cars aren't functioning well, the chargers aren't functioning well, and people don't function so well either. He started out on Sunday looking for a charging station with 30 miles left on his battery. But in minutes, the battery was dead. See, that little indicator on the dashboard of these cars that say you have 100 miles, 50 miles, 30 miles, it's worthless in the cold weather. It'll go from 30 to zero and boom. So he had to have the car towed to the charging station. Then he plugs it in, but it wasn't getting any charge. Recharging the battery, which usually takes him an hour, took 5 hours. How many times are you going to go through this? Wait, usually takes an hour is bad enough. That's 20 times longer than it takes me to fill up my gas tank. So it takes 20 times longer on a good day. And on a bad day like this, it's what? 100 times longer. I don't see exactly how this is progress. And by the way, I have a feeling the people in Chicago wouldn't mind some global warming. I'm just guessing that they're not really upset about the planet heating up. Because what's going to happen if it heats up by 10 degrees? It'll be 10 degrees above zero instead of zero in Chicago. They never researched that. For the millions and tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people who live in cold climates, are they really upset if the planet warms? The people living in the hot deserts, well, there's not that many people there anyway to begin with.
You got to hear this firsthand account that I just found on Twitter. I was scrolling randomly during the break, and I came upon this video of a woman in Chicago stuck at a Tesla charging plant.
I'll play it.
Where 8 out of the 10 chargers are broken.
It is negative degrees out here in Chicago. My car needed charging. So, of course, you look for the closest charger station, which for me was Evergreen. I made it to Evergreen Charging Station, and of the 10 stations, I want to say 9 or 8 of them are all broken and unable to be utilized. So, of course, as you can see, you have multiple vehicles that have died and are unable to be charged. You have people who are stuck out in negative degree weather. You have a tow truck here who is trying to help and support. But again, all of these charging stations no longer work. So you have basically deadlock, a bunch of charging stations. You have a bunch of people with nothing that they can do.
Well, she doesn't sound happy.
No, she's not one bit. And she looks freezing.
Yeah, and you hear her breathing heavy, right?
She's all bundled up. She's got a scarf over her head, a hood over her head, a beanie, 3 jackets.
I spent 2 winters in Chicago.
No, thank you.
It is hard to breathe there when the temperature gets below zero. And here's another guy with a similar story. Nick Sethi, 35 years old, found his Tesla frozen shut. He spent an hour just trying to open the door to his car. It was -5. He finally chiseled out the embedded truck handle to open it. So he had to go to the trunk, and I guess he had something to chisel the ice off.
Don't tell me he had to climb through the trunk.
Yes, he had to climb through the trunk.
Oh, my goodness.
He gets to the closest supercharging station. Now, he has an expensive model. He's got the Model Y long-range SUV. He gets there, and there's a long line of Tesla drivers. All 12 charging posts were occupied. And the charging was getting slowed down because everybody was staying inside the car with their heat on high. Sethi says, it's been a roller coaster ride. He moved from Dallas to Chicago and got a Tesla. He goes, I'll go through the winter and then I'm going to decide whether I keep it. Found another woman. Is that a woman? Yeah. Jocelyn Rivera. She had the heat inside her Tesla Model 3. And she says, if you're waiting in that line and you only have 50 miles, you're not going to make it. And she pointed to a line of vehicles stretched out onto Elston Avenue. The line is out the parking lot into the street. And they're in line so long, their cars die and they have to call a tow truck. She said she saw one Tesla run out of battery after a driver attempted to cut the line. So what, they cut the line and then they went dead?
Then you're stuck with all the people that you cut and they're all pissed off at you and pissed off at the situation they're in.
Yeah, somebody's going to die here. Rivera's car is supposed to drive up to 273 miles on a single 30-minute charge, which is still way too long. See, even the ideal situations are absurd. This week, she woke up and found that a third of her car battery drained overnight from the cold. And so every day, she spends hours every morning waiting in line and recharging the battery. She says, I don't really want a Tesla. I could go on. Maybe tomorrow I'll go on with more. John Kobelchuk.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand. It's the podcast version, and you could catch up on what you missed. After 3 o'clock, we're going to talk with Fresno County District Attorney Lisa Smitkamp, and she is putting out the word that Prop 47, once and for all, has to be reversed. She said... this week, California has gone mad. Really, the lack of accountability and responsibility is affecting everything. And they're proposing the Homelessness, Drug Addiction, and Theft Reduction Act to reverse Proposition 47. And we will talk to her about it. I think you know what? We've all complained for a long time now. Has everybody had it? Could this be the year, since we have a big election year, that we finally rid the world of all this nonsense here in California? We don't have to put up with this. I've actually been thinking about this because, you know, when I go home and I sit staring at a wall or sit in the shower, I say, one thing I thought of today is, why do we collectively put up with what we're putting up with? Why are we doing it? I was thinking about that during the story about the frozen Teslas all out of battery juice. It's like, why are people standing in line for 5 hours to charge a battery, which basically cannot be charged in this in very cold weather? Why is everybody in Chicago? They should be taking their Teslas and selling them or pushing them off cliffs. What's the point of this? Are you really going to do this every cold day in the winter, stand there for 5 hours? Except in California, it's a mandate soon that we're not going to be able to buy a gas-powered car. And I'm thinking, why do we put up with this? Whatever the overlords say, it's like, well, you know, you have to have criminals in the streets. We're not going to put them in prison anymore. It's not fair. Homeless people are not going to be forced to go inside or leave the city. How long do people put up with insanity, and why do they? I feel like we're all trapped inside a cult here. You know how people live in a cult? All sorts of bizarre things happen in a cult. You have, you know, the guru is having weird sex with all the women. People are being locked up in chains. They're on strange diets. They wear weird clothes. They can't see the light of day. And everybody just goes along with it. Yeah, that's what our guru says. Yeah, you know, we worship our... And I've always wondered, they never snap out of it? Now, sometimes people do after they waste their lives for 20 years. And I feel like that's the case in California. Nobody else is doing it to this extent in the rest of the country. There are pockets of insanity, but our entire state is like an outdoor mental institution, and this includes all the sane people. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk to Lisa Smitkamp coming up. Here's a trial coming up, which I'd forgotten about, but this was a terrible story at the time, still is a terrible story, and I think this is going to draw a lot of attention because of the woman being prosecuted, Rebecca Grossman. You know, she and her husband... famous burn doctor, Dr. Peter Grossman. He's a renowned plastic surgeon, and they founded the Grossman Burn Center. And they were married. She's a very wealthy, very attractive blonde woman, but she may have been having an affair with a former Los Angeles Dodger, a pitcher by the name of Scott Erickson. And the story from prosecutors is Rebecca Grossman went out for a few cocktails with Scott Erickson back in September of 2020. And they got in the car. They may or may not have been drunk. And then they started racing each other. And she was speeding as fast as 81 miles an hour. And she ran over and killed two little boys. Remember this story? And she's been charged with two counts of murder, among other things. And her legal team is going to claim that it wasn't her car, that she wasn't speeding, and it was another vehicle that struck the boys. Now, their jury selection is beginning. This happened in Westlake Village, which, if you've been there, is very quiet and civilized and peaceful. It's if you make enough money, it's a great getaway. And the story in the LA Times today centers on the mother, Nancy Iskander. Iskander was crossing the street with her 5, 8, and 11-year-old sons. And Rebecca Grossman was behind the wheel of a white Mercedes. And she blew by. Scott Erickson's car was there as well. There's a little bit of confusion because Nancy doesn't remember exactly what happened, as you could understand. But what the prosecutors are saying is that Grossman hit the two kids. I mean, one of them really, really went flying. So she was having an affair with Erickson, say prosecutors. I mean, if you look up Rebecca Grossman online, you'll see numerous photos of her and her husband, Peter, because they were socially quite famous. And he was quite famous in medical circles because of this burn center, which is one of the, you know, maybe the top burn center in the state. So anyway, their two SUVs were traveling close together and they raced through a crosswalk on Triunfo Canyon Road at the intersection of Saddle Mountain Drive. And for the just in the last month, did prosecutors finally reveal that they were having a romantic relationship. And the reason that became relevant is the defense wants to argue that the black car that was traveling neck and neck with Rebecca Grossman's car was not Erickson's, but someone else. And that someone else might have struck the boys first. So if I'm reading this right, they're not saying Grossman didn't strike the boys, but that she was the second one to, and that the black car wasn't Erickson, it was someone else. It's taken 3 years to come up with that. So Erickson was charged with a misdemeanor, and his case was resolved in February of 2022. So she's the one that's being targeted here. And I guess the lawyer is just trying to throw up a lot of mud to confuse the issue. Similar to that case in Malibu. Remember with the that kid who ran down the four Pepperdine girls recently? And then the defense attorney came on our show and said, well, it was another car that was chasing that young man and pushed his car into the Pepperdine girls. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but that's what he claimed on our show. And it looks like this attorney is using a, they want to create confusion. They want to create reasonable doubt. Whether there's a shred of truth, it doesn't matter. You want to get a jury of stupid people. And if one stupid person on the jury buys into your nonsense, then you win and your client doesn't go to jail. Now, going back to the Iskander family, she was on inline skates, and her son Jacob, also on skates. The 8-year-old who got killed was on a skateboard, and the 5-year-old was on his scooter. So they were all rolling through the crosswalk. Husband, and there was another husband and her daughter, they were jogging nearby. She can't remember whether it was Grossman's white SUV that struck her children because she was diving out of the way with the 5-year-old. Or whether it was the black vehicle driven by Erickson. She says there's a white and a black vehicle. Rebecca Grossman had the white vehicle. The Dodger pitcher, Scott Erickson, had the black vehicle. And now the defense is saying, no, there was another black vehicle. She said the speed was insane, and this is the mother talking. They were zigzagging with each other as if they were playing or racing. They didn't stop before the intersection. They didn't stop at the intersection. And they didn't stop when an 11-year-old was on the hood of the car. Nobody stopped. The L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy, Robert Apodaca, he's a specialist in traffic crashes. He testified that Rebecca Grossman was traveling 71 miles an hour when she hit the boys. The car computer showed 73. The older child was thrown 254 feet, the farthest that Apodaca has ever known a human to be tossed in a crash. So the trial's going to start soon. I think that's going to be a fascinating one.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand. That is the podcast. Lisa Smitkamp is going to come on with us after the 3 o'clock news that Deborah has. Lisa's been on the show several times, and she's trying to get a referendum on the ballot called the Homeless Drug Addiction and Theft Reduction Act, reverse Prop 47. Enough of the debate. Enough of the nonsense. We've had this experiment now for almost 10 years. And she said the other day publicly, California has gone mad, really. The lack of accountability and responsibility is affecting everyone. We've had more drug addicts than we've ever had, more people committing more theft crimes, more violent crimes, more domestic violence and child abuse. And crime has skyrocketed since Prop 47 has passed. So we're going to have Lisa Smitkamp on to talk about this new referendum. All right. Let me. There's a story here from NBC4, Joel Grover. And it's a story on homeless people and their dangerous pets. Let's play Joel's piece and you'll get the idea.
Your dog attacked my husband.
It got the inside of my leg.
Scott Palmer is talking about this dog, which sunk its teeth into his leg when he was out biking last month near Marina Del Rey.
My calf ripped open.
The very next day, marathon runner Don McGreal says he was attacked by the same dog belonging to the same homeless woman while out for a morning run.
To me, it looked like he had been attacked by a bear.
McGreal's wife, Celia, wrote about the attack on Nextdoor, and three more people posted that they or their neighbors or their friends were all bitten by the same dog on a long leash held by that same homeless woman.
She looked very strung out. She looked like she could be on drugs. The dog looked malnourished, underfed, not well taken care of.
Celia called the LAPD.
The police department told me that it was out of their hands.
So then she called LA Animal Services.
What did you want Animal Services to do about this dog?
Monitor the dog, see if the dog is a threat to society.
What were you told by Animal Services about this dog?
They've been instructed from the mayor that they are absolutely not allowed to do anything to the homeless in regards to their animals. They're not allowed to take them away.
Even if the dog is dangerous?
Even if the dog is dangerous.
Across town in the West Valley, another concerned citizen, Fawn Asili, also called LA Animal Services recently about this dog she saw at a homeless encampment in the North Valley.
You were concerned the dog had no food or water?
The water dish is upside down with no water, and there's no food in the food dish.
Fawn tried talking to the dog's owner.
Are you concerned the owner's not capable of taking care of the dog?
That's exactly it.
Fawn began bringing the dog food and water and a tarp to protect it from the rain, and she called LA Animal Services.
The lady said to me, the dog has to be in distress for us to do anything.
The I team wanted answers, so we requested an interview with the head of LA Animal Services, Stacy Danes, an agency with a $27 million a year budget. Animal Services did not respond to our interview request or comment on specific incidents, but they did send us a statement saying the department, if necessary, removes animals from owners in cases of abuse and neglect. In addition, animals may be removed from the owners if the animal is demonstrating potentially dangerous behavior.
They've been instructed from the mayor that they are...
And what about the statement that Celia Williamson says she heard from two different animal services officers, that they've been ordered by the mayor not to remove animals from homeless people no matter what? The agency told the I-Team LA Animal Services is under no such order from the mayor.
Animal services, do what you're supposed to do. Take care of these animals.
Our viewers who reached out to the I-Team say they want to see more action from animal services.
I want us to feel safe to be able to go out in our neighborhoods and not feel like we're living in the wild and could be attacked by an animal.
Now, we also heard from the office of LA Mayor Karen Bass. The mayor's office told us, according to the LAPD and animal services, they were never under any such direction by the mayor to not remove dogs from the homeless. They told us if this was said, it was said independently and not behalf of either department.
All right, so which is it? If Mayor Bass didn't issue this order, then why do you have LA Animal Service employees making that claim? Is it because they just don't feel like working that day and this is a convenient dodge and who's going to check anyway, right? I mean, Joel Grover can get an answer by calling the mayor's office or LA Animal Services, but the average person isn't going to get an answer. You're going to get a dial tone. You're going to get a voicemail recording. You'll get hung up on. You're not going to get a human being telling you the truth. Somebody, and you know, in a sane world, the head of animal services and Karen Bass ought to be forced to go on camera together and hash this out. Okay, is there an order? Mayor? No, there's not an order. You hear that? Mr. Animal Services? There's no order. So let's go. I mean, you're talking about... And the idea that the dog has to, is this like the mental patient rule where you can't put somebody into a mental health clinic unless they're in imminent danger, right? They have the knife raised over their head and they're about to plunge it into somebody and then they can be taken away. But if you show up 30 seconds later, it's like, oh, no one was in imminent danger. So if you show off the gash in your calf, can you get the dog sent to dog prison? Is that what it takes? Or do you have to have like a video of the dog taking a bite out of your calf? And what about the other story? This is not good for the dogs either. Like the woman who said the dog's water dish is upside down. There's no water in it. There's no food in the food dish. The dog house was tipped over. There's feces and urine all over the ground. Well,
the dog needs to be emaciated before they'll do anything, apparently.
Exactly. Does the dog have to be gasping, begging for care?
That's ridiculous.
LA Animal Services. So Joel Grover can make a ruckus over one or two cases, right? But then everything's going to go back the next day. There should be no homeless people with animals. That should not be a thing, okay? Because they abuse the animals, they neglect the animals go crazy, the owners are crazy, the whole lot of them should be taken off the streets. Nobody should be living on the streets, not these mental patient owners, not the mental patient dogs. I mean, again, are we going to wake up from our bad dream here, wake up and break away from the cult? Nobody had this before. We didn't ever live like this. This is why are these rules and regulations? Just no. Just everybody say no. Dogs are gone. Humans are gone. All the crazy people and the drug addicts, everybody's gone. You're all locked up. Or leave town. Take you and your dog out to the desert somewhere. You got to wait. Don't say, oh, no, you can't do that. Yeah, we can do that. We just do it. Look at all the other cities in the country. They don't have this crap. Deborah Mark is live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.